Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the legend in his own right, the man with a plan, the man in the chair, the man who's... who has ties to the Sicilian mob.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
Jack Barry. Jack, it's good to see you, dude.
I don't have them. My dad does.
But I mean, once your family does, though, I mean, you know.
And we don't live in Cleveland anymore, so I mean,
you don't.
I root for all Cleveland teams.
But you do. Yes. Yeah. Dude, we got to give a shout out at the top of the ep to Kuiper Belt Productions.
Crazy.
Reform Funny Moments.
Crazy.
The little dude, the cartoons are well, first off, dude, he started the entire video with our intro. It was so funny.
Yeah.
So like he started the video with the Alistair Begg quote, right? That's at the top of our intro. And anytime I hear that, because, you know, it's a pretty popular clip, right? So like I hear it on social media here and there, but every time I hear him say the phrase, "What do you got for me?" Right. My mind automatically triggers to our intro just by habit, because of how much I've heard it. Right.
Yeah.
And this time, like, he did the quote and, you know, Alistair Begg goes, "What do you got for me?" And in my head, I'm like, the intro starts, and then it did. And I'm like, oh man. It was awesome. The video was hilarious. The intro was cool. He took our video and kind of re-edited it, made it look way cooler than what I did. And then the cartoons, dude, the animated, so good, so funny. The Sicilian mob story.
Starting off with me choking on Olipop right
dude,
off.
Dude, that's
right at
great.
The top.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Dude, I laughed so hard. it's so good, man. And then the Sicilian mob story, and then the anime,
then
Catholic anime.
Old Pope de Dope de
Pope de Dope de. Give them anime.
Give them anime. I like how you were like using those different accents for
dude. It's so funny.
So ridiculous.
So funny. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Reformatory. Those that are here either because of the Reform funny moments, I hope I'm not getting ahead of schedule. But I had the blessing of being interviewed by Pat Abendroth. It's Aben, not Abin. I heard. Although there is some debate, because, you know, he said maybe it started as Abin and then it turned into Abendroth on the Pactum. And if we have any Pactum listeners here, welcome. You are in a safe space. We accept you. We're thankful for you.
Yo, speaking of Jesus's active obedience.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I have to do, I, so
We do, well, I participate in at my local mm-hmm. church, a kind of pastors and leaders institute in which the pastors of my local church come together. I'm a leader, but I'm also praying and considering going into either becoming a deacon or an elder.
Yeah.
Later on down the road again. I've already been a deacon in another church.
Been there.
Been deacon. More there. Considering eldership and deaconship yeah. again, stuff like that. That's awesome. So we have to write a outline. I don't know. So I've talked about Charles Simeon Truss a little bit here and there to Josh, but dude, their outlines. Whew. It's no joke. It's like if there was a way in which you wanted that, you felt like you were going into an MMA gym as a pastor and not getting beat up, but actually getting beat up by like other people in your fidelity to the word, like these are those workshops. So we're doing like we've been going over a couple texts. We did Mark. We did the arresting narrative in Mark. And now we're doing Galatians 5, basically that whole fruit of the spirit chunk right there.
Okay.
And that ends. Right. And I was thinking about Jesus and active obedience and okay, I'm trying to get into like a mode here. So there's a lot of teaching. Well, I have to do this worksheet for Thursday. So when this episode drops, I will be in PLI. Either getting roasted or congratulated on for my preparation of how I got to my main kind of thought of the text, and then also a sermon outline, which I have my sermon outline.
Okay.
I'm trying to put together the main thought of the text again, but we're going through a preaching book by Brian Chappell called Christ-Centered Preaching. Dude, that was a heavy lift. Like last week, we were going over some concepts of his. They're really good, but you really need to know the backstory and the context for certain books of the Bible or epistles or narratives in order to really get to the heart of what the author is trying to tell his people, trying to get to. So, and then I also have to do a teaching couple weeks from now on the first 15 chapters of Exodus.
First 15?
Oh yeah.
In one setting?
About an hour and a half, yeah. It's gonna be good.
Gracious.
I've like literally thought about this and there's a lot of stuff, but it's not gonna be in depth. It's gonna be very overview, bigger
30,000 foot conceptual understanding of the first 15 chapters. Yeah, okay.
And spoiler alert, the sacraments pretty much come out of the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So, I like it. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's awesome.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. I've never gone through Simeon's Trust myself. I've heard good things. I have. I've heard it's a very word-centered, very intentional, and rigorous, which is good. You got too many pastors today, I think, in my opinion, taking kind of the easy way out and not putting the work in. Right.
And that segues into,
you see that segue,
dude? You were
professional.
Saw that 5 miles away.
See that, dude? It was a lob. Dude, it was perfect. Hit it out of the park. Another way that I see that, Jack, is with this new phenomenon now that we are all having to figure out how to deal with, how to think about, how to interact with, and that is artificial intelligence, AI. What is it? Why is it? How is it? Where is it? Right? The thing is, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
AI is now becoming an integrated part of society, right? It's, in my opinion, it is going to be the new internet. That level of integration into society, right? I think when the internet first started coming out, you had all of the naysayers like, it's going to be a fad. It's going to be a passing thing. Little did we know how our entire societal culture
companies.
Would be, yes, would be
Amazon.
Built on the internet, right?
Seriously.
I personally think that AI is going to be the exact same thing. Okay. So with that being my opinion, kind of how I'm seeing things going, just like the internet, I think when it comes to specifically its usage and its practicality within the local church, right? Just like the internet, I see a lot of benefits mm-hmm. and a lot of dangers and pitfalls. And that's what I think would be fun to talk about today. Do a little AI talk. We're going to sound a lot smarter than we actually are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I want to throw it over to you, Jack. First, let's talk about the benefits first. And I'm going to actually share a story before I throw it out to you. Right. So I had the blessing of being able to preach 2 weeks ago. Now, did the first six verses of Hebrews 13. We're heading into the final chapter of Hebrews. We've been in it for a while. Into the first chapter, talking about the characteristics, if you will, of the Christian, right? And in the first six verses, you get things like, be hospitable to strangers, right? To be generous, be hospitable to those in jail. Be content with what you have, right? Don't love money. Keep the marriage bed undefiled, right? Honor marriage, all of that stuff, right? That's all mm-hmm. in the six verses. Took a lot of prep. It's a lot to cover in six verses in one sermon. But by the grace of God, we made it through. I was sitting in the office in one of my elders' offices after the sermon, and we were just like him and I. We're both kind of into computers and things like that. Like we enjoy utilizing technology to be proactive, to be efficient, mm-hmm. right? And we started talking about AI, because what we did is we bought this app that we keep on our phones. That during our elders meetings, we put in the middle and it records the entire meeting. And then what it does is it transcribes that into bullet points, and it will even transcribe it into action items for you. So this is what was discussed. This was the conclusion. This is what so-and-so is going to do. This is what so-and-so is going to do. And Jack, I have to tell you, wildly accurate.
Yeah.
Scary accurate.
Yeah.
How good and how precise this was. So that got me thinking. I was like, huh, I wonder what would happen if I put my sermon audio into it. So I tried it, and it spit out a precise summation of what I preached, like down to each point that I made verse by verse. And then the conclusion at the end, like the conclusions that it would even come to is like, again, kind of going to what you were saying, the act of obedience of Christ, right? Relying on Christ and his sufficiency to do these things. Like even mm-hmm. the nuance of that, it picked up on and surmised perfectly. And then I went even farther and I thought, huh, just for kicks and giggles, I went into the prompt and I said, create me study questions for a Bible study.
Oh boy.
Dude, it created like 10 study questions that again were immensely accurate.
Yeah.
So I was taken back. That was honestly kind of the first time that I've really, and I'm sure there's some listeners here that are like, yeah, duh. Like it's been able to do that for a while, Josh. Welcome to 2025.
This iteration of AI this iteration of AI, I feel like the AI we got introduced to was not as powerful as this is.
I feel like it is like becoming more powerful. Like,
well, yeah, I feel like it's learning. It's at 2.0 level right now.
Yeah.
We're at 1.0 or even 0.5 or the beta scale that we had. It kind of seemed like hokey, like this wouldn't work out. And now it's like, oh, wow. Like even in my work, even in recruiting, like my companies, I can ask for the Microsoft AI called Copilot. I can ask for a license to get it on my computer. And what it could probably do is surmise phone calls, meeting notes, stuff like that. So,
yeah,
I think we're going into this age of, I always have this meme in my mind of, what is it? The old Terminator 2, John Connor.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like he's looking at he's looking at you and it says John Connor's judging your use of AI or
judging
you making like, friends with AI right now.
It's like those two wolves that we supposedly just back from extinction. It's like, dude, we have an entire movie franchise as to why creating animals from, you know, mosquito DNA is a bad idea, right?
Yeah.
It's the same with AI, right? All these Terminator films were just foreseeing our future demise. But so I say that to say this is just like the internet. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to have the luxury here very soon to not utilize AI.
Yeah.
I think it's going to, like I said, become so integrated into our culture, into our society. It's going to be like the internet. You're going to have to use it because the social industry, the construct is going to be built on it, right? That being said, I want to talk about some ways that I think, like the internet, AI can be helpful. But then I've also got quite a few thoughts that, honestly, as soon as I plugged my sermon into that AI and it spit out, I was in the same moment extremely surprised and like taken aback by how amazing that technology is. And also I had a moment where it was almost a gut punch because I'm like, oh no, this is dangerous. So we're going to talk about that a little later, but I want to throw it over to you first, Jack. When you think about kind of AI, maybe some of those examples that I gave, what are some of the ways that you think would be beneficial and profitable for pastors, local church members, local churches to be able to possibly use AI to benefit the ministry, benefit the congregation? Or do you think it should be something that the naysayers of the internet, it's going to be a passing fad and we're not going to deal with it.
No, I think it's going to be integrated into our lives more and more every day. You're already seeing it on the internet, on Google. Google's using it in your searches. I know that I do it. I see it in the first thing. It'll pop up with its Google's AI version to give you more answers.
Right.
So I think for certain things, maybe, I think it's going to be used in more of an assisting way to begin with. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can really figure out how to incorporate it with, and this might be my demise. I don't think we can figure out how to incorporate it within a robotic sense, like an autonomous robotic sense, like iRobot.
Right.
I don't see that happening for a good few decades, maybe.
Okay.
But I think this side of it right now, I think we're going to see more of it in the application of, you know, we're talking a lot about manufacturing. We're talking a lot about other things. I can see it very applicative. Let's say I'm going to take like a very like near example to what I deal and work with.
Okay.
So let's say, I work at like an HVAC construction energy services company, right? One of our HVAC service techs goes out on a call and maybe needs a little bit of assistance on a job. Mm-hmm. I could absolutely see him and in the future and AI doing this in the future of him basically holding up his phone and saying, or just saying something into AI and saying, hey, how would I go about troubleshooting this problem?
Yeah.
And AI spitting out an answer to him or showing him a video or something, mm-hmm. right? Giving him some sort of manual tasks. Right. So I think those applications are helpful. What I don't see helpful, and maybe the local church, is the idea of AI being your center point that you go to all the time, basically becoming your new pastor of content.
Sure.
I think that's dangerous. I think primarily because of Josh and I talked about this before the episode of plagiarism. Mm-hmm. I also think it makes you lazy.
Yep.
Like you're not if I were to do these Charles Simeon trust worksheets, at that point, if I'm using AI to just generate a message, it's not being a connective tissue to what God has for us, what right. God's word is used for. Like God's word is given to his people in order to equip.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't give us his word, and then we turn around and use AI to basically hijack it and then try and, you know, make AI do all the heavy lifting.
Sure.
No, like that doesn't that's not how, you know, God's spirit, or that's not how the word even works as well either.
Yeah.
That's not like, that's just being a lazy pastor. That's right. being a lazy preacher. Right. That's being very lazy when it comes to actually preparing messages as well too.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I don't think you can get the intricacies that you're looking for in the text.
Yeah.
That AI will actually find those. Cause I don't think AI is, I don't think you can program, and this is me probably eating my words, but if you can program AI with a biblical theology understanding of the Bible, like even I'm looking at, right? So I'm looking at like Galatians, like the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to come up with some background to what's right. going on there, or just even like some themes. Like if you look at that text from our perspective in the local church and in the past, I could start drawing conclusions of how Paul is purposely framing that Galatians text to what it should have been like in the garden.
Yep.
Because the Spirit, if now, you know, I say this, whoever walks with the Spirit, that walks, like you're walking with God, like that invokes a lot of imagery of Adam in the sure. garden walking with God, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. And then you're going into talking about, you know, pruning.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the work of Adam, right? He was supposed to tend to the garden, to steward the garden, to prune. You're pruning the work of the flesh.
Yep.
You're cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. Those intricacies, you are not going to find. AI, I don't think AI would give you that.
Well, it doesn't. No. And that's part of the discussion, right? Is I think you're going to find AI is going to be helpful for practical things. Right. Like when I was writing my sermon, I was trying to think of a quote and I couldn't remember who said it. So I asked AI, hey, who said this? Right. And it brought it up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Right. Or if I'm trying to remember a verse off the top of my head, I'm like, OK, where, like, for example, where what's the verse that says the heart of man is deceitful above yeah. all else? No one can understand it. Right. I plugged that into AI and it gave me the answer right now. People will be like, well, isn't that just lazy? Well, not necessarily. I would have Googled it. Like, you know, I would have Googled it anyway. Right. So for those types of things, it's extremely, extremely helpful. Right. The example that I gave us recording our meeting in order to get minutes, right. That frees up one of us elders from having to take minutes, and we can be more engaged with the conversation and things like that. That's a helpful tool, right? I enjoy that. That's really cool. And I think that that's a great way to utilize that type of technology, right? But what you're describing is at the core of what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Is because, look, plagiarism has been around forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We know pastors who have plagiarized, who have sermons stolen, stealing notes, passing them off as their own. That's always going to be there, right? And that was there before AI, right? And it's going to be there after AI, okay? But what you're really keying in on here, Jack, I think is really, really important, and that is this. AI is not a substitute for spirit-given wisdom and discernment.
Yeah.
It's not. And too many people are going to utilize it as such and put trust in an AI interpretation when that interpretation has to come from study and the Holy Spirit revealing those things to that person, yeah. right? Case in point, I plugged into the same AI that did a wonderful job in taking our notes, doing all these very practical things. I plugged into to AI. Is the book of Hebrews in favor of dispensational or covenantal theology? And the answer it came to was, it really doesn't give either one. There's cases for both to be made. I completely disagree. Yeah, right.
Sure.
And it's a very covenantal book. Right. In fact, it's where I would send someone to convince them of covenantal theology. It'd probably be Hebrews. It's so heavy in covenantal theology. Right. That kind of stuff comes from time, experience, and the Holy Spirit revealing those types of things. Right. And that's where I'm afraid people are going to fall into some really bad habits, because it's going to be extremely easy, Jack, to look at a passage like you're looking at Galatians 5.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, okay, there's a lot here. I'm just going to plug this in AI and say, hey, give me a 5-point sermon on Galatians chapter 5. And it'll do it. It'll do it. It'll make it look sharp. It'll make it look clean. And guess what? It's preachable. But what you're doing is you're taking all of the Spirit out of the work of preparing a message for your people. And that's not what we are called to do as those who preach.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's interesting. Like, we're almost trying to make our own, like, man is trying to manufacture the Holy Spirit through AI. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we're relying, I mean, whether we're manufacturing it, but I could see that. We're definitely relying on it like we would rely on the Spirit, yeah. which is, to me, a massive issue.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, you know, there's going to be nuances in there. What does it mean to walk with Christ? What does that mean to walk with God? Well, let's go back to Adam. Like, what did that look like? Mm-hmm. What was the relationship that was there? Why was the relationship broken? How is the relationship mended? How is it better now that it's through Christ, right? AI is not going to be able to do that as effectively, I don't think, ever, as it was designed to be, right? Through the ministry of the Spirit, through the proclamation of the word by faithful men that take the time to know what they're going to say and to apply it to their people correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just... I might actually do like an actual on-air experiment to see if this can happen. I'm just going to see if AI can detect the fact that, like I said before, I'm going through Exodus. I'm going to see if, because a lot of commentators and scholars have said that the Lord's Supper and baptism get their prototype from the Lord's Supper is from Passover.
Sure.
Which the bare bones version of the Passover was wine and unleavened bread and lamb, roasted lamb, right?
Sure.
And then baptism, they would say the proto version of baptism is going through the splitting of the Red Sea, right?
Interesting. Yep.
So I'm going to plug in to see if AI senses that or is coming to that conclusion, because all I'm just going to say to it is, where does the Lord's Supper and baptism come from? Okay. And see if it spits me out anything.
Yeah, it's probably just going to take you to Jesus instituting it, you know, on the night he was betrayed. But it might, it's such an interesting conversation. Let me know when you get there. Okay. But it's something to where it worries me, because there's already a propensity, I think, in today's society to be lazy with the work that God has called you to do. Mm-hmm. And I see AI as wonderful of a tool as I see its potential to be. It's also, I see it as a great danger for those that utilize it incorrectly, because you can just plug something in and, oh, I have study questions now. I have a sermon outline now. I don't have to do that work. It saves me so much time. And I see the potential to justify laziness because of convenience or time given you. And what you're actually doing is you're robbing your people of hearing the voice that God has given to them. You as their pastor.
Yeah.
Right? You lose the application. You lose the individuality of the pastor that is called to care for the congregation specifically. Because the AI is not going to know your people. It's not going to know the struggles that so-and-so is going through or the struggles that, you know, you're counseling someone through. It's not going to know those things. It's not going to know the culture of your church and the things you guys are dealing with. You as the pastor have been called to that specific church to care for them specifically through the skills that you have been given by God. And yeah. if we're going to, you know, offload discipleship onto artificial intelligence, we're abdicating in our role that we have been called to do as shepherds. We're called to shepherd the sheep, and you can't shepherd the sheep without knowing who the sheep are, where they are, and what they struggle with. You can't outsource shepherding.
Yeah. And case in point, so I plugged in just a simple question. Where does the Lord's Supper and baptism come from? And only stuck in the New Testament. So sure. It's only going to go to Matthew 28.
Sure. Yep.
Jesus, as far as baptism. Yep. Yeah. And then it's only going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 and then Luke 22. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the Lord's Supper, this is probably for another episode. I believe in real presence in the supper, not transubstantiation, but a John Calvin version of real Jesus being in the supper, in the Lord's Supper, right? Mm-hmm. This doesn't go that way. This goes in very memorialist ways, right?
Right.
And it doesn't even mention the Old Testament. So I find this very problematic because now you're basically turning the roots of baptism and the Lord's Supper into like almost like Marcion did, where he's like, forget the Old Testament, just focus on the new. The new's the best, right?
Sure.
But like on top of that, like get rid of all these other, you know, Jewishy things in the New Testament as well too.
Right.
So I feel like that's the danger that you're starting to produce with AI. If you're only giving now, I could direct AI to tell me maybe I'll do this. Maybe saying, hey, AI, is there any parts of the Lord's Supper and baptism where it's referenced in the Old Testament? You have to be super specific in that. But most people are not specific in their questions.
Yeah.
And even this is like even going into like trying to figure out like even like a so my pastors did this with us in PLI where they kind of cosplayed as people asking questions about what we do, why we do it, right? Mm-hmm. So your AI cannot be able to answer a question like, well, why do we do the Lord's Supper every week?
Right. Yeah.
And then on top of it won't be able to give you an intuitive way to answer follow-up questions like, well, I feel like the Lord's Supper, and this is just an answer maybe of somebody that our pastors were thinking of. It's like, I feel like every time I go to the Lord's Supper, it's always a defeat.
Mm.
And I ask that question of like, why do you think it's a defeat? Because it's not.
Right.
It may seem like it, but it's really not.
Yeah.
AI is not going to get that.
No.
Like,
no.
And that's why the Spirit has equipped, you know, men and women to preach the gospel, but also equipped men in order to answer those questions as elders in a local church.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's what we're called to do. Right. And again, if you start outsourcing your shepherding, you're outsourcing the very work that God has called you to do specifically, right? And just as a means of encouragement, right? I feel like there can be a temptation to utilize AI in these types of things because I think a lot of guys that are in the office of elder or pastor feel really ill-equipped to be there, mm-hmm. and have some, you know, possibly imposter syndrome with where they're at.
Yeah.
And I want to be very clear and very encouraging to those individuals because I understand that feeling. AI is not going to make you a better pastor. It's not. The Holy Spirit has equipped you with what you need to care for the people that He has called you to care for. If you are in that local church and you are ministering to those people day in, day out, you are doing what the Lord wants you to do. And He wants you there specifically because there's something that He has equipped you with that's going to be an encouragement to the people that you are ministering to. don't outsource who you are, the experiences that God has given you, the skills that he's given you, the abilities that he's given you, the love and the care that he has given you for your people. Don't outsource that to something that doesn't feel and doesn't understand how to take this passage, although it might be able to explain it. It doesn't know how to apply it to your people specifically. And that's what you're called to do. So yeah, AI can be used for a lot of really productive things, right? I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, we can't ever use it. I'm planning on using it for the things that that I can. Again, the quick word searches, you know, notes, things like that, the very practical, quick things that do increase productivity and do, you know, legitimately free up my time and make those types of things easier to do, right? However, if you start falling into the trap that I think a lot of guys are going to do in allowing it to, well, maybe I'll just see what happens when I let it write my sermon this time. I'll let it write out, you know, the small group lesson this time. This person's going through this in counseling. Maybe I'll just ask AI, hey, what are five applications for someone who's, you know, dealing with pornography or dealing with drugs? You start to see how this could get really messy really quick.
Yeah.
Right? Because sooner or later, you're going to get caught. That's one, right? That's one consequence. It's going to happen. You're going to get caught. Okay. And then you're going to have a lot of questions like, how long have you been doing this? Right? How long have we been hearing sermons that have been AI and not our pastor? Right? Those are some big questions. And two, I would say even more seriously, we've already covered this, you're abdicating in your role to care for the people in the way that God has called you to, specifically and through the word, right? Don't outsource your ministry. Don't outsource, because God has equipped you to do it. He's given you what you need. Be confident in who you are, not because of all these great skills or your ability to put the right prompts into AI. Be confident in who you are because of who Christ is and what he has called you to do. And Christ has never called someone to shepherd that he did not equip to do so. We got to remember that. There are no true shepherds out there that have been called to shepherd by Christ that he does not also equip for the task he has called them to do. AI or not.
Yeah.
So be confident that the over shepherd of your soul knows what he's doing and has called you to emulate him, to shepherd like he shepherds. And you don't need AI to do it. So... yeah, it's unprecedented times. It's really strange living and pastoring in these times where we're dealing with things that we've never really dealt with before. Mm-hmm. But if you take the 30,000 foot view and you apply biblical principles to them, you will see very quickly that there's nothing new under the sun.
There's some times where I think we could go hard into just saying AI is from the devil.
Right.
Or we could go into some hard, we need to completely integrate this. Like, that's usually the two sides of the coin to everything, the two extremes. And you need to find some moderation in order for its usage. And I think for me, the moderation of that usage is going to be pretty much like, if I have a AI tool that can surmise my conversations that I have with candidates so that I can save time and maximize my productivity, pretty sure my company wants me to do that.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
So if it's that kind of stuff, that's easy. If it is involving the commission that we are given, in order to be leaders in the church, primarily elders or deacons, and then or ways in which like we need to lean on the Spirit instead of AI, that'll be a very interesting conversation, because that is a very different application of AI that I don't think we've ever dealt into before.
Yeah.
But if you have a supercomputer, basically being like your go-to, at that point, you're kind of not being obedient to the Lord. You're just being obedient to the machine that gives you the answers.
Yeah.
And you're not really God letting, you're not letting God let him do his work in you.
Yeah.
So that you can be his image. You're just imaging like man's created crap.
Yeah.
which we have a whole storyline of the Bible that talks about how man, every time how man goes to a not God and another God, we got whole storylines of that. And that could be the situation with AI, that people start making AI their God.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think I think a lot of guys are going to get busted. I really do. Mm. I think there are a lot of guys are going to get caught, utilizing AI for things they shouldn't use it for.
Yeah.
And I think we will see that just because there's a propensity for laziness. All right. And not a lot of care when it comes up. But again, you can't outsource your ministry. You can't outsource wisdom and discernment. You can't check that out the door now that we have AI, right? Utilize it for what you should utilize it for, and it can be productive. But when it comes to the souls of your people, that's what you're for.
Yeah.
That's what God's equipped you to do. So don't be lazy in that, because God's given you a voice.
Although I will say, I did say, does the Lord's Supper and baptism come from the Old Testament? And actually gave me better answers. So
it's all about them prompts.
It's all about the prompts, dude. And I will say this, people don't know how to prompt. Okay. Yeah, so
that's right.
They'll just come at you with a 2x4 and say, give me the answer. So
Exactly. Well, Jack, fun discussion, interesting discussion. Not one that when we started the reformatory way back when, not one that I would have thought we would have been having today, but here we are.
Yeah.
AI in the local church.
We were focused more on is this virus going to come get us or not?
How do we politely tell the government, hey, man, stay out of church's business? Man. How do we do that politely, like Jesus would? Anyway, Jack, my friend, we are out of time. Why don't you get us out of here, please?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's conversation about AI and just the way in which we have a mind of curiosity and how this affects your local church and how it will affect the local church, you can give us a follow on the socials, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's where you can write us a comment, question, concern, anything along those lines. You can follow us at the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will. You can go catch us on the Instagram, because mm-hmm. we're Chocolate and Marshmallow. Or you can follow us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X,
if you will, as well, too.
All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Like I said, you can comment, question us, send us a DM, episode ideas, things that you want to talk about that are not maybe talked about in your local church, and you want more of a perspective about how it would affect your local church. You can catch us on that. And then, Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might find us on the other platforms.
That's right. Yeah. So you can head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it. Head on over to there, search for the Reformatory Podcast. Give us a like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for the notifications, as the kids say. We appreciate that. Apple and Spotify, you can rate this podcast, review this podcast. We would really, really like that, too. It helps the podcast get out to more people to be encouraged into keeping their local church central to who they are and their walk with Christ. That would be greatly appreciated. That would be awesome. Link in the description of this episode, Amazon store. We got some shirts. Sell them on Amazon. High quality, low prices. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. That's where Jack and I are going right after this. We're going to go record bonus episodes for our patrons that range from serious topics to fun topics to cigar talk to nerd talk, music talk, random Catholic mascots, as you saw in the Reformed Funny Moments video, and everything in between. And we would like you to hop over there and join us. If you appreciate what we're doing on the Reformatory, head on over to Patreon. And for $5 a month, that's all it is, just a fiver. That's not even a Starbucks a month. You could sacrifice one cup of coffee a month to support the Reformatory. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.